Our scripture lesson this morning, the first scripture is from the Old Testament, book of Isaiah, chapter 49 through verse 1 through 7, found on page 726 in the Pew Bible, if you'd like to find it and follow along. So first reading is from book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. This passage is prophesying about Christ, Jesus, and who Jesus is. So listen to the words of teaching us who Jesus is. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, 'It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth.' This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel. To him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verses 29 through 42. And if you're able, would you please stand for the gospel reading? Gospel of John, chapter 1, 29 through 42. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony, 'I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him.' And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. In our gospel lesson today, it tells of two who discovered Jesus and became his followers. It was just after Jesus was baptized, and every time John the Baptizer sees Jesus walking by, he would just tell everybody, "The Lamb of God, the Son of God. See that guy over there? That's Lamb of God." So on this day, two of John's disciples hear John tell about Jesus again as he's walking by. So they decided that they want to check it out. Whatever their teacher says, you know, it sounds interesting, very intriguing. So they decide that they want to investigate themselves. They want to find out for themselves. So they started following Jesus. And Jesus senses that there's someone following. So he turns around and he asks, "What do you want? Why are you following me?" And these two says, "Rabbi, teacher, we want to know where you're staying." When they say, "We want to know where you're staying," it's not just about location, where is your house at, but a little bit more than that, they want to know where you're at in terms of who you are, what you are doing. And so Jesus said, "Come and you will see." So they spend the day together. I can imagine three guys sitting around over coffee. Maybe they could be having lunch, talking, asking questions, answering, conversing, getting to know each other. I bet Jesus got to know their names, Andrew. And they were talking and enjoying their company. And it says about 4 in the afternoon, Andrew was convinced that this Jesus dude is the Messiah. Just like his teacher John said, Jesus is the Messiah. He came and found out for himself. And so Andrew goes back home, finds his brother, Simon, and says, "Simon, Simon, look who I found. I think we have found the Messiah. Come, come and see. Come with me. I'll take you to him." So Simon comes to see Jesus. And both of them became the followers of Jesus, his disciples. Now, in this seemingly simple story, if we examine it closely, there's a pattern that emerges that helps us to learn about how we can also be the followers of Jesus Christ. The first thing that happens in the story is that Andrew and his friend, they hear about John speak about Jesus. Every time Jesus walks by, John will say, "See that man over there? He is the Lamb of God." See, none of us who are here worshiping today, none of us came to know Jesus Christ on our own. We were not born with that knowledge, But somewhere along the journey of our life journey, someone took the time and made efforts to tell us about Jesus, that he is our Savior, who loved us so much that he gave his own life for each and every one of us. In Romans chapter 10, verse 7, Paul writes, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So faith comes from hearing the message about Jesus Christ. So it all started from hearing the word about Jesus. And then what happens next? They follow. They wanted to know for themselves. The word follow implies that something is done with your feet, right? So as Jesus is walking by, they follow. Action is required. The two disciples' curiosity and their desire to know the truth for themselves and make it real, rather than just taking what John had said, prompted them to follow, move, and investigate. Third thing that happens after following is that they accepted invitation. As they were following Jesus, Jesus says, "What do you want?" They said, "We want to know you. We want to know where you are, who you are, what you are doing." And Jesus said, "Come, you will see. Come and see." Simple invitation. A simple invitation to come, hang out with me, listen to what I have to say, learn what I'm offering, join in what I am doing. Come and see. And they accepted the invitation. Every day, Jesus invites us to come and see. Through the scriptures, the revealed word of God, as we read and study, we get to know who Jesus is. Through prayer, sitting, conversing, listening, experience that God is indeed alive and living, working in our lives. Worshiping is another way Jesus invites us to experience being in God's presence, feeling the Spirit that is moving in our community, in all around us, in our lives. Through service and ministry, Jesus invites us how to experience how God works through us to bring the transformation in the world. They accepted the invitation because they wanted to find out for themselves. Oftentimes, those people who are just happy to take Pastor Grace's word for it, you know, your faith will just stay where you are. But, oh, Pastor Grace said this, but I want to know whether it's for real, and I want to make that real for me, for myself, in my life. So you start seeking, you question. By the way, questioning is good because it helps you to seek answers. It helps you to, it gets you to different places where otherwise you will never go. So you question, you look for answers in the scriptures, in the conversations. And the invitation is always there for you. You just have to accept. The fourth thing then that happens is that they experience. As our wise little guy, Ryan, told us a short while ago, experience is what's important. See, hearing, you can hear all of these stories, but if you do not experience, then they remain just a story. Responding to Jesus' invitation, they went and saw who Jesus is. They heard him, what he's about, and something happened. See, if you read the story very carefully at first, remember when Jesus turned around as they were following and asked, "What do you want?" They responded to him, "Rabbi, teacher, I want to know about you." But if we read the story a little further on, Andrew goes to his brother, and what does he say? He doesn't say, "I found us a rabbi. I found us a teacher." He says, "I found the Messiah." See, in Jesus' culture, for a person to say rabbi, teacher, it's equivalent of us addressing a person Mr. or Sir. You know, someone who teaches, you know, someone who's respected, but Mr. Sir is far from "You are the Messiah, my Savior." See the difference? Somewhere in between Mr. and Sir and "You are my Messiah," experience happened that helped Andrew to see Jesus for who he really is. But experience was not the end. After he experienced Jesus and said, "He is the Messiah, you are the Messiah," then he ran home, found his brother, and he witnessed to his brother, "Guess who I found? I found the Messiah. Come, come and see. I will take you to him." See the pattern? First, they heard the story about Jesus. Then second, they followed. They took some actions to go investigate. Third, then they accepted invitation to come and see, to hang out with Jesus. And as they hung out with Jesus, then they experienced who Jesus is. And once they experienced who Jesus, then finally they could not contain this newfound truth by themselves. They had to go tell somebody. So they go out telling their brother, their neighbor, their friend, so that they can also see, and then this whole pattern starts all over again. Peter hears and follows Andrew to Jesus, and then by accepting the invitation to come and see, and then Peter meets Jesus, experiences him, and he's also convinced that he's the Messiah. So now he found the Messiah, so what does he do? He goes out, tells someone else. And so this pattern has been basically circling. It's been going on for the last 2,000 years. And that's why we are here. We are part of that pattern. And we are also called to continue this pattern. It's just like the ripples that you see when you throw a stone into a lake, right? From that one tiny stone, it creates the ripples, that circle's getting larger and larger and larger until it reaches the end, the edge of the lake. We are a living being in spirit. It means that we cannot be just stay here and be content and remain here. But we have to continue through this process of growing and maturing in our faith. And not only we have to continue this process, but we also have to continue this process for others. So that after my ripple, another ripple has to happen. And so the story of Jesus continues to expand and grow. This process does not take place in one day or one moment. For some, it takes many days, sometimes months, sometimes years. What's important is that we have to be intentional about our faith growth, about this process. So where do you see yourself in this process, becoming the followers of Jesus Christ? Isn't it time to move on to the next stage? Isn't it time to start all over again as we bring other people to Christ? Come and see. Experience it for yourself and know that Jesus, as your personal Lord and Savior, is with you. As you live through this process, may your faith be real to you every day, every moment. Amen.